Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would meet each one of us, and that through your words and through the words that I speak, that you would speak to each one of us what we need to hear directly from you. I ask that in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. I bet all of you teachers out there, were these good scriptures to teach from or what? There's a lot that could be said on this. I'm going to focus on what we read in the Gospels just now. And this is the last part of it where Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." Now, got a question. I really do want your response on this. It's not rhetorical. What's the theme of these verses? What is it talking about? Evangelism, I hear. What are we evangelizing? What is it that we're saying? I'm not sure that I heard anything clearly. What?
The good news of Jesus Christ.
The good news of Jesus Christ. What is the good news of Jesus Christ?
Salvation.
Salvation? Did I hear that? What? How? What? Through the grace of God.
Resurrection.
Eternal life. Blood of Christ. These are all great church things.
He walked among us.
He loves us.
But trusting him.
Trusting him. Pardon?
God's Passover lamb.
God's Passover lamb. Somehow dying for sins. God isn't mad at us anymore, but he loves us. It's good. I wanted to hear, because here's my contention. I think that these verses can be applied rightfully to all the things that you've said, but I don't think they meant that when Jesus said it. Here's why I say that. Because at this point, had Jesus died for the forgiveness of sins for all people? Had Jesus been resurrected? So did it mean those things when Jesus said it? I don't think it did. Now, like I said, I'm in favor of talking about that. Don't anybody go and post on Facebook, "The pastor says we shouldn't evangelize and talk about Jesus." Because, you know, that's how rumors get started. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is maybe Jesus meant something different when he said it as opposed to how we usually apply it. So the question is, what did he mean? All right. Well, let's just back up to the beginning of what we read, starting in Matthew 9:35. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area. Now, do you know what area it was? If you look up to the top of the page, it kind of tells us. He's almost certainly in Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is the place. You can still go there. A couple of us, you may have been there. Several of us have. It's on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee, which is, you know, it's a couple of hours north of Jerusalem. Okay? So, real places you can go there. In Capernaum, this is when Dawn and Hal and I were there last year. This is the synagogue in Capernaum on the shores. And Dawn is about to read scriptures about something that happened there. It may have been this very scripture. I don't remember for sure. But Jesus went to the synagogues in the area. And it says he had just gone back to Capernaum. So he was here teaching this stuff. Isn't that cool? Now, just, you know, this message has been brought to you by Brooks' tour to Israel coming up in October. You can go here. You can go here and walk in these places. And so I encourage you, any of you can, go. Go and see it. It's amazing stuff. All right, so Jesus was there. He was teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. All right, now we were just talking about the good news of Jesus. What's the good news of the kingdom? It's for everybody. It's here. God rules, dudes. God rules. God is in charge. And where God has seemed silent or God has seemed distant, Jesus is saying, I'm here to show you. All heaven's breaking out. God is asserting His right to rule even here among you today. Because God's in charge. Okay, that's the good news about the kingdom. Kingdom is about the rule and reign of the king. So that's what Jesus is talking about. He's like, the king is starting to rule. And then the things he does shows that. He healed every kind of disease and illness. Just with that one sentence, he healed every kind of disease and illness. What does that show about what's important to the king? What? He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Right? Oh, how he loves. And that it's important for him that we be healthy. Yes, sir. I'm about to pull you up here and let you preach. But he loves us. This is if he says, you know what? God is king and he's in charge. Then this is what it looks like when God is in charge. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. His heart went out to them. He was really touched by what he saw because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, I doubt we have many shepherds here, but a lot of you have heard stories about what it's like and how well sheep get along when they don't have a shepherd looking after them. Have you heard stories about that? Do they do well without a shepherd? They don't. They wander off. They fall into pits. They can't figure out where to go and eat or where to go and get something to drink. And they're not real smart. I mean, when we're called, oh, his little lambs and his sheep, it's not very complimentary. And when Jesus looked at the people and he said, you know, my heart breaks for them because they're a lot like sheep. They're not sure what to do. They don't take care of themselves very well. I'm not talking about health here. I mean, just their lives are a mess. They don't do it nearly as good as they could do it. They're confused. They're not sure how to go about it. They're just reacting to everyday life instead of living it like they could. And my heart breaks for them, he says. Now, in that sense, I don't think it's much different today than it was then. I think it's very darn similar today. And you know, I mean, it's true for me. It's true maybe for you. It's true for folks out and around us in Mandarin and Jacksonville. It's just people have a hard time living life. And we tend to live paycheck to paycheck in the middle of a lot of stress, reacting to the things that come about, and feeling like we're getting blown and buffeted around and knocked around. And we can't ever get on top of it all because something else just keeps coming along to knock us down. We're like sheep. Without a shepherd, we're confused. I don't know if any of y'all ever feel that way. I do at times. I'm a professional, and I feel that way. Y'all may too. But the point is, you know, at least one of the things that I'm saying is when Jesus is looking at that, he's not saying, oh, these folks need to go to heaven and that'll fix it. Now, folks need to go to heaven? Yes, right? Will that fix a lot of things? Are y'all ready to go today? No. Yeah, well, you know. Okay, so, yeah, I know. I get it. Some of us, okay. But in general, drinking the Kool-Aid is not the answer. Having a shepherd that helps us to put the order in our lives and to be able to live life like God wants us to live it, that's the answer. And when Jesus is here and his heart is breaking for folks because he's looking out and seeing, you know what, they're just like those folks in All Souls in 2017. It breaks my heart. His answer is not to say, okay, I got to get on the cross right away. What's his answer for this? You just keep on reading. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, the workers are few. So pray. And that means put this on your personal prayer list. I want you to make this important for you. Just for my sake, will you make this something important for you? Will you put your heart into this and pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest? And ask him to send more workers. And that there's kind of this sense to what he's in the Greek when he said it. It's like he's saying, ask the Lord of the harvest to prod people, to kick them out from where they're comfortable, to thrust them out in there, to make them go. Ask the Lord of the harvest to make some people go out into these fields because there's a harvest waiting. And again, the context is not, it's a harvest of eternal life and souls going to heaven. It's talking about people are hurting right now and what do we do about it? So, if you just keep on reading, our chapter heading changes from Matthew 9 to 10, but I want y'all to know when this was written, there weren't chapters. Chapters came around in the 1200s. 1,200 years after this was written, somebody said, wow, maybe if we made chapters, it would make it easier to find some things. And then 300 years after that, somebody said, chapters aren't specific enough. Let's break it into verses so we can find things easier. When this was written, there weren't chapters. The next thing after Jesus says, put this on your personal prayer list. Ask God to prod some folks to get out here and help. This is how he helped. He called his 12 disciples together. And he gave them authority. He gave them a badge in some ways. We've got some police officers amongst us. They have authority. They have a badge. They have the right to go out and direct traffic. If I walk out in the middle of the street and start holding up my hands and telling folks to go, I get in trouble. But they have authority. The sign of it is the badge. Jesus, in some way, gave these guys a badge, said, I'm sending you out to do something. Here's your certificate, you know. Go and do this. Cast out evil spirits and heal every kind of disease and illness. In other words, there are some problems that these folks have, and it breaks my heart. The enemy of their souls is very real, and he's doing things to undermine them. We need those things out of there. Those are evil spirits. They're real things. Get them out of there. Here, you've got the authority. Go do that. And they're sick. They can't get out of being sick, not just in their bodies, but in how they approach life. This is every kind of disease and illness. Does that include mental illness? Does that include depression? Does that include this confusion? I just don't even know what to do. I'm in it so deep. Yes. Every kind of unease and illness. Guys, go out and do something about it. And he sent the apostles out with these instructions. Go to the people of Israel, to God's lost sheep. And again, that's not meant to make us go, oh, they're little sheep. It's like, oh, they're a mess. They're just like those folks in Mandarin, right? Just like that pastor, he's a mess. Go to God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. That doesn't mean y'all are about to get a ticket for heaven. That means that okay, you're not really far from how God wants to show how He can run things and how God can make a difference in your life. That's what it means. And He told them, heal the sick. Raise the dead. How many of y'all would like to see that? I saw one hand. Okay, I'm seeing more hands. I want to see that. I hear folks see that. I'm like, oh God, why aren't we seeing it here? I think that's another sermon for another day. I mean, that's... But I want to see that. Cure those with leprosy. I mean, even go as far as the ones that get kicked out and they're not even allowed around other people because it's so bad. Go to them. Make it better. Cast out demons. I mean, you even have authority. I'm sending you out. I mean, there's a harvest out there to be had, but it's not a harvest into heaven. It's a harvest of doing things for people that need things done. Give as freely as you've received. Evidently, Jesus was under the impression that these guys had received some stuff. Do you think they had? What did they receive? Housing, food, guidance, the Spirit, authority, a better way of doing life,
power,
understanding, fellowship. There's a lot these guys had received, right? You've received freely. Now I want you to go out and do something with it. I don't know where I am in this. Let's just see what comes up on the screen next, right? I don't think anything's coming up on the screen. Maybe that's it. He said it'll be tough. Yeah, this comes out of the message. I don't often use the message, but boy, did it get a hold of some of this stuff. A few verses down, he said, it's going to be tough when you do it. I'm not playing games with you. It's going to be hard. Don't be naive. Some people are going to impugn your motives. Others will smear your reputation just because you believe in me. Don't be upset when they haul you before the civil authorities. Without knowing it, they've done you and me a favor, Jesus says. They've given you a platform for preaching kingdom news. You get to explain why you're there. Don't worry about what you'll say or how you'll say it. The right words will be there. The Spirit of your Father is going to supply the words. When people realize it's the living God that you're presenting, and not some idol that makes them feel good, not some program that gives them stuff without any cost, not some magic elixir, not some poof, all your problems will disappear kind of solution. When they realize it's the living God you're presenting, they're going to turn on you. Even your own family. Don't be naive. It'll happen. There's a great irony here, Jesus said. Proclaiming so much love, but experiencing so much hate. But don't quit. Don't cave in. Because it's well worth it in the end. It's not success that you're after in such times. It's survival. Be survivors. Wow. Well, let's close in prayer. Isn't that a great thing to hear, right? Isn't it funny? This is how I feel. When I began a relationship with Jesus, it took me probably a year or two to figure this out, but I started figuring out, and I've got a choice like I never had before on how I'm going to live life. I never had that choice before. I grew up in a family and we did things a certain way, and there were things that happened that I wish never happened. I mean, there's broken stuff. And y'all, I got off easy, I know, compared to a lot of you in this room. But it was broken stuff. And you know what? You know how I was growing up? Broken. I didn't know there was a different way to do life. And I felt for the first time in my life there's a different way to do it. And that God is going to help me do it. That somehow I'm different enough on the inside because I know Him that I can do it differently from here on out. Now, I haven't done it all right. I've gotten better though. But I can do it differently. Now, that comes from a relationship with Jesus. A lot of you in here know about that. You can do it differently, and you've been doing it differently. You've been doing it differently than your family raised you to do it. You've been doing it differently than culture says to do it. You've been doing it differently, and you're glad about it. God has given you a fresh start, a new life, a power to do it differently. And there are people out there that don't have it. There are people in this room that are wondering what I'm talking about. That's okay. I'm glad you're here because this is like the crux of it. This is why we're glad to get together on Sundays and meet together in homes and do Bible studies and all that, because there's something real about Jesus. I mean, don't be naive. Not everybody. I know a better way of doing life, and people don't want to hear it sometimes because it's not easy. Don't be naive. Not everybody's happy to hear about it. In fact, they can get pretty upset. Jesus goes on, "This is a large work I've called you into." And if you're a disciple, let me tell you what, you're called into it. But don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Now, you don't have to go out and get a megaphone and go down to the street corner and start yelling at people. You don't have to go out and get a doctorate in theology so that you can answer everybody's spiritual question. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who's thirsty, for instance. Start small. Go and go and invite somebody to dinner. Go and help somebody with their homework. Go and help them cut the grass when they didn't even ask you. Why don't you just surprise somebody one day? Help them take their groceries in. Give them a call to find out how they're doing. Start small. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. It helps you become a disciple. And you won't lose out on a thing. It all matters. Isn't that weird? Jesus, who's telling these guys, go out and raise the dead, also said, but start small with a cup of cool water. Somewhere in that continuum, I think we can all find a place, okay? But start. Start. Break out of your comfort zone. Because there are people out here. They don't all come in here looking for it. Well, I'm lost and confused. Can you help? They don't come in here looking. They don't know. But you see them every day. So start small. But start. Because the Lord of the harvest is prodding you. Pushing you out of the door. Because He has compassion on the folks who are harassed and helpless. Today is World Mission Sunday. It's a big, beautiful world out there. And just like Jesus said, you don't have to go out and become ordained to do anything about it. You can do it with a tap and a cup. Go and do it. Make it a point this week. What would happen if 200 people kept their eyes open for an opportunity to do something small? Because out of 200 people, if 200 people are out there doing something small, there are going to be 200 people that are glad you did something even though it was small. And a couple of them may be glad enough to say, hey, I didn't even ask you to come and do that. Why'd you do that? You know, it's kind of weird, but I think God loves you, and it's just a way to show it. Maybe that's what you say. If you don't know anything else to say, say that. But start. Start small. If 200 people, imagine what it would be if 200 people look for a way to do something even small out there. Would it make a difference? Would you be glad that you did it next week at this time? Yeah, unless you got arrested and brought before the authorities, I know. But I'm betting that starting small, we're not going to have to deal with that between now and next week. That gives us time to get ready, right? Okay. Amen. So you're getting prodded. The harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of stuff out there to do. And we're equipped. Do you know that Jesus already says, you are the light of the world. Not you can be. Not if you memorize four spiritual laws in a prayer, you might be able to shine light. He says, you already are. You're light. Because you're different. You shine so bright that you're going to make a difference as long as you don't keep yourself from making a difference. You're just naturally going to do it. You already are. You're light. You don't even have to try. You're just different if you have a relationship with Him. Just don't cover it up. It says, let your good deeds shine for all to see. Everyone will praise your Heavenly Father as a result. Now, a lot of times people are going to want to say, wow, I want to praise you because you gave me a cup of cold water. And you're like, whoa, not about me. It really isn't about me and me looking good. It's, hey, you know what? I think God loves you, and that's, I just looked up and you look thirsty. You know, God's the one that helped me to see it. Here, God loves you. God brought us back to Himself through Jesus, the Messiah. God has given us the task of reconciling people to Him. It's because God was in the Messiah reconciling the world to Himself. He's no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. You already have it. You already know it if you have a relationship with Him. You are already God's ambassadors. You're Christ's ambassadors. You're the ambassador of the Messiah already. But I don't feel like it. I don't know what happens if they ask me about the dinosaurs. You know, you don't have to know. You're already an ambassador. You're already light. You are already capable of starting small. But it's part of our appeal. Come. Come back to God. That's our appeal. God made the Messiah who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through that Messiah. That's just what we do. That's who you are. So, go out and do something. Start small. If somebody raises the dead, give me a call before you do. I want to be there. Okay? Yeah, call everybody, right? Email blast goes out. I think we're going to see things like that. I really do. I think those things that Jesus sent his disciples out to do, the big stuff, we'll see that stuff. It's going on in the world. I've seen some things. Y'all have seen some things. But it's going on out there. And I keep talking to people that are seeing amazing things. And like, why not here? Why not here? Oh, God, why not here? Let's do it. Let's do it here. So start small. Let's see where God takes us, okay? Amen. Let's pray.